It's time to take this game into overtime.
The official podcast
of the Average Joe's Sports Show
on 90.9 The Light Sports
for our generation.
We will get into college football. We have Texas A&M taking on Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Will this be Alabama's toughest matchup before they get to the playoffs? Because I unless they lose today, they're going to make it to the playoffs. Unless, I mean, they do have Auburn and LSU coming up.
You know who they have later this season that's going to be a real struggle?
Who? Tell me, please.
The UTC Mocs.
Yeah, that's
hometown.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
They're going to.
What does UTC even stand for?
University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. That's where
I'm from. Oh, it's Chattanooga. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
The Mocs.
Yeah, that's not. No.
Hey, they've been playing well.
Yeah, they've been playing well for an FCS school, but it's a little bit of a different type of game when you
I want to see them put like 21. I don't care how much, you know, Alabama will have like 66 that game, but if Chad can put 21, I'll be like, look, that's a moral win.
You heard it here first from Kyle Vaught. If Chattanooga upsets Alabama to destroy their playoff hopes, you have heard it here first on 90.9.
That's
not going to happen.
I said
they just need to score 21.
And he might be the only person in the world to predict.
They're
going to
lose.
Outcome.
I just said I want to see them score 21 points.
Come on, go out on a limb.
No.
So
never.
You've got the Aggies taking on the Tide in Tuscaloosa.
Golly, it's going to be such a good
game. It is going to be such a good game.
But look at the
spread.
Alabama's
off. What is the spread?
It's 19 and a half.
In favor of Alabama?
For 1 versus 16.
Because how dominant Alabama's been this year.
Exactly, but on paper, this is still the most... This is still the toughest matchup for Texas, for Alabama.
But Alabama just beat Tennessee 49-10.
This is a better team than Tennessee.
Who A&M went into overtime with at A&M. So...
It's all about matchups.
It is all about matchups.
Teams match up against different teams differently.
You're right.
And that's why I'm not picking Texas A&M against Alabama. I think they can play them tougher. This will be a closer game.
I think Alabama will only win by 25 instead of 40.
It'll be a three-score game, maybe. Yeah. But, I mean, Trevor Knight is not the guy that's going to beat you downfield.
No.
The one weakness for Alabama... If you can pick out one weakness for them,
maybe
their
secondary.
It's their secondary
maybe.
And their deep threat. I mean, they've been able to give up a lot of deep balls.
Because you're not going to run the ball on them.
You're not running the ball. They are the best.
I'm not going to say you're not going to have any good run plays, but not consistently.
They are the best run defense in the SEC. They only give up about like 2 or 3 yards per carry. And that's the strong suit for Texas A&M. So if Alabama shuts that down, they really don't have much going on offense.
We look at defensive-wise, they have Myles Garrett, who's probably one of the best defensive players
This defense is special. Texas A&M has – they've been – in the past, they've had one of the worst defenses in the SEC. And for some reason this year, John Chavis, who's their defensive coordinator, who has been able to turn this defense completely around, and now they are the – second best defensive team in the SEC, but the first best team, obviously Alabama. I mean, what else can you do?
My thought process and prediction is just looking at how Alabama's played throughout the year. I'm thinking they're going to score around 48 to 50 points because that's their MO. Like, that's what they do. USC,
If they score 48 or 50 points, the game's over.
I mean,
there's no way A&M is scoring 48 or 50 points on that Alabama
defense.
Unless
Trevor Knight puts up the best game of his life. But he'd have to throw for 400 yards
and
5
touchdowns.
How is he going to
throw 400 yards against
unless he's Chad Kelly a Jace? I mean, he won't, but...
No. But, I mean, we look at this. It looks like 48-50 is their number. You have Mississippi, Ole Miss. They won 48-43, which was a close game.
Guys, last week, Alabama-Tennessee, let's just look at the rushing numbers
here. That was
a
brutal game.
Let's look at the rushing numbers here for a second.
3,400.
The third Saturday in October rivalry. This is a rivalry game. Both teams were hyped up for it. Alabama sometimes calls it their biggest game of the year if they have to go to Knoxville. Now, I disagree with that because the Iron Bowl's any day.
Have you ever been to Neyland Stadium?
I have,
yes. It's insane.
Okay, thank you. Let's just back up my point even more with that. Alabama put up 438 rush yards.
Oh, I didn't say Tennessee was insane.
438 rush yards
insane.
To 32. They gave up 32 rush yards in an entire game. to a Tennessee offense who had been scoring this year.
Let's hope for everybody's sake this game is more competitive.
Because if not, you might really as well write off the rest of the season.
Well, there's really no other
minus
games today
Ohio
NC State, Louisville? You're not excited about that?
No.
I'm an NC State fan. I went there for a year. I know NC State football very well.
Okay, Louisville's
UNC versus
what,
UVA?
Hey, what time is that game at? What time's the Louisville game?
Noon.
Is it noon?
It's a noon game.
Okay, why in the heck is Louisville wearing glow-in-the-dark cleats?
Glow-in-the-dark
cleats
at noon.
Because
that's
they are wearing glow-in-the-dark cleats for a noon game.
Because
predicting a solar eclipse or something like that during the game. I don't know. But leave it to Adidas. Leave it to Adidas to give Louisville glow-in-the-dark cleats for a noon game.
Alabama wins, right? Everybody's
oh,
got
yes.
Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
of course.
We all have Alabama
wins.
Pretty comfortably.
I'll give it comfortably.
By eight.
By eight?
Yeah.
That's not
comfortable.
That's
too close for me.
48-40.
48-40.
Wow, you have Texas A&M
Man.
40.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
All right, well, still sort of sticking on Alabama. We can go to, really, we can combine the next two things. First, is Nick Saban underpaid? Because he makes $7.1 million.
You want the long answer or the short answer?
Short answer. Let's go short answer.
Well, both of the answers are yes. I mean, they're both short answers. Yeah, he's underpaid.
Yes.
I mean, just look at this. Alabama football program alone profited $46.5 million in 2015.
Why?
What would they do without Nick Saban? Would they profit $46 million?
No.
Yes, because they've sold out every game in like the last
60
years.
Why have they sold
those out?
I'm
saying previous to Nick Saban... And if you go after Nick Saban, 5-6 years after Nick Saban, they're not going to profit that much off of Alabama football. They won't be able to win without Nick Saban to the degree that Nick Saban has won. So this guy is – I mean, the football program generated $95 million last year, which is the most ever by any single team in the history of college sports. And
that's
solely on Nick Saban winning four of the last, 7 years championship-wise? He's won four of the last 7 years. This is their sixth straight recruiting title in college football. I mean, he can get any guy he wants in the nation. Nick Saban is underpaid. $7.5 million is not enough to keep this guy around.
So feeding off of that, is the value of coaching the highest it's ever been in college football?
Absolutely. We
Why?
See this. We see
look
this
at one,
across
two, and three
the
teams.
Board. I mean, we look at all the teams that are playing at a huge caliber, who are presenting these players who are Heisman candidates. Tom Herman, you know, yeah, they had a stressful, you know, loss, but he's going to get paid by Texas or somebody. He's going to get paid and get a new job quickly. You've got Bobby Petrino at Louisville. I mean, he's going to do great.
You're over, like, I think this is a three-headed monster.
Yeah, you've got every team that's playing extremely well has a coach that just absolutely has that team in line with what their vision is.
It's as simple as this.
Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer.
You hit the nail right on the head right there. It's a three-headed monster in college football. It's Urban Meyer, it's John Harbaugh, and it's Nick Saban. Though that will be the 1, 2, and 3 team for the next 5 years.
Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, wrong Harbaugh. My bad. I mean, those will be the top three teams in college football. They can get any guy they want, and it kind of almost makes college football a little boring because you know who's going to win. You know who's going to be at the top. You don't even have to watch these games: Michigan, Ohio State, and Alabama. And then if you want to throw in Dabo Sweeney with Clemson, those guys will be at the top every single year.
You're insane. Come on, son.
I think it's good for college football having these top name coaches.
It's good and bad.
It's awesome. It's awesome because all we want to do through the entire season is look for Jim Harbaugh versus Nick Saban, or Dabo Sweeney versus Nick Saban, or Urban Meyer versus Dabo Sweeney. That's what we're looking forward to. So we're going to grind through the whole entire season, and thank goodness we have a playoff situation now where we can be like, oh man, oh, they had a tough loss, or oh, that game was close, or I wonder where they're at in the polls this week, or darn, they dropped. Now it's going to be really exciting to see, because if they're dropping 60 points throughout the regular season, playoff time comes, baby. They play a real team.
Let's keep going on college football. There's no need to get off of it. We're mid-season in college football. It's probably one of the biggest topics going on right now, maybe minus the MLB playoffs. So you've got the Big 12 decides to stay at 10 and not expand. First of all, this has impacts on schools not in the Big 12, predominantly Houston, because I think that takes away their chances of keeping Todd Herman as their coach, because it allows them to not be able to give him a $5 million, not extension, but a $5 million increase in his salary. So, how much longer do you think the Big 12 will be able to stay at only 10 teams?
They're going to have to move up. Like they are going to have to move up, or they're going to have to...
Well, then why did they vote to just not go ahead and do it? If they have to...
And I think, who do they have, though? Because if they pull Houston, they need to pull somebody of equal strength. And there isn't really anybody else of equal strength that they're going to find that they can pull into that conference.
Realistically, yeah, they need to get rid of Kansas, too.
Well, that's where I would see a situation...
Well, that's football, though. Basketball, Kansas, you know, is a big factor.
Right, and that's where it's a struggle, because how are they going to pull a conference team?
They need a team that's good at basketball and football.
Right, yeah. They need teams that are able to, like, really produce.
And Houston's been the only one that they were looking at that's been able to do it in both basketball and football, because they were looking at another team, UConn, who's been a powerhouse in basketball.
Houston's only lost last year.
If the Big 12 went and got UConn, that would just be, you know...
It would only benefit basketball.
Let's just push the boundaries of the Big 12 all the way to the Northeast.
Exactly. But, I mean, conferences don't care about that anymore, really.
I know.
Traveling costs don't matter anymore, especially if you're the Big 12. But
I mean, didn't Hawaii like travel like around the world like four times this first four
Hawaii,
games?
Hawaii went to Sydney, Australia... And then the next week, they were at Michigan. They went from Sydney to Michigan.
When you're a Power 5 conference, traveling costs really don't make a difference at all anymore. But
it
really comes down to this. The Big 12 is a mess. They've fallen into maybe fourth place in conferences in the Power 5 for football. You have the ACC outperforming them, the Big 10, the SEC. Obviously, all three of those conferences are doing better. And now the Big 12 is left there in fourth place, and it's really only a two-school conference. It's really all the power is Texas and Oklahoma. They drive that conference, and they really have nobody else.
Well, up until this season, TCU has given that conference a really exciting twist.
But they don't
have
the power.
Not anymore.
Power-wise and revenue-wise, it's Oklahoma and Texas, and then it's the rest of the guys in the back of the Big 12.
I would disagree somewhat, just because based on where everything kind of spreads out, like we were talking about with other sports. Look at Kansas City, or Kansas State, Kansas. Both of them produce phenomenal basketball players. Andrew Wiggins came from Kansas State. I mean, you have these other avenues that also are leading and taking these teams, you know, farther and creating revenue. Now, yeah, it's difficult because football is such a huge thing. And we're seeing these teams not play at the caliber they need to play.
This decision comes down to money, though. I mean, this
it
is
does.
All
well,
money
any,
because
any
right
decision comes down. It's a business.
Oh yeah, exactly. Football.
But how much money does March Madness make?
But look at this. I mean, right now the Big 12, they're still making the money with Texas and Oklahoma, and it's a $30 million plus payout for each school, and it's round robin scheduling among that. I mean, the Big 12, it's still competitive. It's still solid money wise and revenue, but if you want the Big 12 to still be around, you need to change something. You need a conference championship game, and you need to figure out something, bring in other teams or something, or else Texas and Oklahoma will not be in the Big 12 in 10 years from now. They will not have
10. I don't know.
Five.
Where are they going to go?
They can go anywhere.
I think the Big SEC 10. Is going to add Texas and Oklahoma.
Big 10.
The Big Ten can easily take them.
I could see the Big Ten and the ACC
picking up
one. The Pac-12
could take Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
The Pac-12 is not going to take Oklahoma. That's a Midwest school.
They'll take Oklahoma if Oklahoma wants to leave.
It's just Central.
Texas and Oklahoma have the power. If they want to leave, they will. And then the Big 12 is in shambles. They won't be in the Big 12 if the Big 12 doesn't decide to change up a few things and add a couple.
Well, they've got to give them a chance to make the football playoffs.
So
and
you're
they
saying
have,
there's
they,
a chance.
They have to go undefeated. I'm sorry, but a one-loss Big 12 champion is not going to make the playoff because they're not going to have their conference championship game to defeat possibly another one-loss team.
But in a situation like that, that's why it's really ridiculous how the SEC has kind of changed all of college football to this point where you see, like, in a lot of ways, the SEC screws up all the other good teams because you have teams that play at such a caliber, and you have a team in like Ole Miss that hangs with, you know, they hang tight with Alabama. But Alabama destroys USC by, you know, 50, 40, whatever, 42. I mean, so you have these teams where they're like, well, they could hang with Alabama. But that doesn't make them extremely good. That doesn't make Baylor a less of a team than Ole Miss. But you see that happen throughout the year of these different polls coming out where SEC teams are ranked higher because they hang with an Alabama.
Yeah, well, I can see that just because it's perception. Perception's everything. What you look like is what you're going to be ranked as. I mean, it's like Carolina's first loss this year was to Georgia. Now Georgia has had a bad year, and that looks bad on Carolina, although Carolina's gone to Florida State, beat Florida State, gone to Miami, beat Miami. Now, I know Miami's lost to Virginia Tech last night, makes that look worse.
Right,
but
no teams are getting a good like visualization across the board. Look at Washington, number five.
I think that's a good ranking.
They destroyed Oregon. Yeah, I know,
but Oregon sucks this year. They just lost to Cal.
But that's what I'm saying is they destroyed them in such a way, though, that tells me they could probably hang out.
They destroyed Stanford
with Christian McCaffrey and all the hype and stuff like that, and yeah, it's overrated and blah, blah, blah.
I completely agree that Washington is a legitimate contender for the college football playoff.
Well, let's get into that.
But in a situation like that, what happens if they have a one-loss team versus a one-loss SEC team?
Bottom line, Big 12, you need to change up your ways or else you're going to lose Texas and Oklahoma. You got to change something up. Bottom line.
Eventually. All right. Well, we have a new segment that we're going to do today. We might continue it until the college football playoff, but we're definitely going to do it today where we have our playoff pick 'em, and we go around and we go starting from our fourth team going into the top teams that we want in our college football playoff. Thomas, we're going to start with you. Who is your number four team, your number four seed in the college football playoff this year?
You guys just mentioned it. It's Washington. Washington will squeeze in here. I think they can easily win out, and if they win out, they'll get into the college football playoffs. Look at the rest of their schedule. They're at Utah. They play versus Cal. Washington State has been surprising, but it's another game that they have to play against, and then they're home against USC. That toughest game that they have is probably Utah because it's at Utah. But other than that, it's a tough, deep schedule, but it's not ridiculously tough. You're not playing another top-ranked team. Washington is a great team. I mean, they crushed Stanford and Oregon. Both of those teams have been disappointing this year, but they crushed both those teams. And Jake Browning, we were talking about this earlier, me and Kyle. Kyle and I. Jake Browning... I just finished English 221. My grammar is getting better.
Yeah.
Jake Browning, the quarterback, 23 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. He's quietly having one of the best seasons in college football right now, and he's an underrated Heisman pick. At number 4, I got Washington.
Number 4, I am going to go with Clemson, where they're at right now. Based on what I've seen, based on the who they are, I don't think that we're going to be able to get rid of them. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean I don't think anybody else is going to proclaim I'm better than you at the number 4 spot.
My number 4, I'm going to go with the Michigan Wolverines.
What?
And here's why. Well, I'll get into it later, but I'm going to go with Michigan as my number
tomorrow.
4 team.
One loss or zero loss?
One loss. Might be a little bit of a surprise. Wow. Who else I have in there.
What?
So I'm going to go Michigan Wolverines as my number 4 team. Number three, Thomas, let's go.
I got Kyle's number 4 team. I got Clemson. I think they're going to stick around. I mean, they have the bye week this week. And when you have a bye week later on in the season and you're struggling, you can use that bye week to try to get back on track.
They haven't been struggling, really.
They haven't been struggling, but they got lucky. They almost lost to NC State last week.
They almost lost two games.
They've been winning, but it hasn't been dominant like the Alabamas
and Ohio
State.
You know why they've been winning? Because coaching.
Coaching and Deshaun Watson. I mean, you got those two guys. You got Dabo Swinney and Deshaun Watson. The rest of their games, the only tough game left is FSU. Florida State, they're at FSU.
It's going to be a huge game.
And then their last game of the season is South Carolina. They don't have a tough schedule moving forward other than the FSU game.
Which is why I leave them at 4.
Which is why yeah, you can play that factor in. If they're undefeated, they can be the 3 or 4 seed. But I think if they win out, they're in the playoff, they can win this ACC championship game. That's why they have them at number 3. I think Deshaun Watson keeps them afloat.
All right, at number 3, I'm really struggling right now because it's really hard for me to vote against any of the teams that are already in the top 4. Based on what they do, they destroy teams. They demoralize teams. Think about the game at Illinois tonight against Michigan. What are they going to do? Michigan's going to drop like 75. Maybe.
75 is a stretch there. That's asking them to score on pretty much every drive.
I mean, how many have they scored in the past games? They scored 78 against Rutgers. I mean, okay. It's not a stretch. Now, they did have some struggles against Wisconsin, but they still came out. I'm really interested to see that, but I have Michigan at number 3.
I am going to go with the Washington Huskies at number 3, as I think Clemson's going to lose the ACC championship game to North Carolina, who I think is going to bounce back. They've already bounced back a little bit from that Virginia Tech loss and shown that they can go on the road and beat a high-quality team, and I think they're going to defeat Clemson, and I believe that Washington is going to slip in as an undefeated Pac-12 champion at number 3.
Interesting.
Thomas, number 2.
Number 2, it comes down to the big boys, Ohio State. I think Ohio State has enough manpower to beat Michigan. Because the game, I think the deciding factor here is that game is a home game for Ohio State. I mean, maybe if that game was in Michigan, you give the edge to Michigan. But because that game's at Ohio State, I give Ohio State and JT Barrett and Urban Meyer that advantage. The rest of their games, they have Nebraska, Michigan, Michigan State, not a very good team this year. They're just very well-rounded. They don't have any weaknesses. They've been destroying teams. Ohio State, number 2.
I am going to go out on a limb here. And this is just a bold prediction right now. I want to see what they do. But there is a really weird sleeper that's going on in the Big Ten standings in Nebraska. Like, Nebraska has been playing a lot better consistently.
That's right.
Now, and the reason why I say
you know they play at Ohio State?
Yes, and that's why. Because they're sitting where they won't even – they'll play Wisconsin and then Ohio State. And I don't even think they even have to beat Ohio State if they beat Wisconsin. Because if they play high caliber against Ohio State, if they're able to beat them, they'll definitely be in at number 2. If they're not able to beat them, I don't know. And that's where I think they could flip-flop with Michigan. All three of those teams, depending on how they finish the season, I think could be your 3, 2, and even 4 if they got hype. So I'm going to go with Nebraska because I want to see them play well.
As my number 2 team, go back to the Big Ten, undefeated Big Ten champion in the Ohio State Buckeyes.
You got it.
First playoff game, Ohio State-Michigan rematch.
Golly, that would be ridiculous.
First playoff game. You've got number 2 versus number 4. Go with the Ohio State Buckeyes as my number 2 team. It would be, I think it would be the first time ever that the Buckeyes and the Wolverines matched up in a game that could send one of them to the national championship. So
it's been a while, probably.
Yeah, it's been forever from what any of us can remember. It's never happened. So go with number 2, the Ohio State Buckeyes. I think they'll run the table and sit in at the number 2 spot in my college football playoff.
Now it comes down to 1. I mean, there's really not much to be said here. We all only have Alabama left. It's tough to see which could they lose? Sure, they could lose against Auburn or maybe today against A&M.
Do you think the SEC could get left out? Let's say A&M beats Bama
and then
A&M
loses.
Could a one-loss SEC champion get left out of the playoff?
Yes, because you have Michigan and Ohio State.
But would you not put in a one-loss SEC team, SEC champion, over a one-loss Michigan team who doesn't win the Big Ten? You got to put in the SEC champion. So I don't think that's really going to be an issue there. But you never know.
It's a big – I mean, it just – there's not much to be said. They don't have too much competition left in the SEC.
True.
My opinion is the SEC – is just a bunch of guys other than Alabama.
I think Alabama's going to run over A&M tonight.
Alabama's in the SEC. I thought they were in the NFL.
I mean, the way they play. Okay. Number one. I mean, it's probably pretty obvious we all have them at number one.
So, Thomas, you've got Bama. Kyle.
Yes.
Bama. I think everybody could have guessed before I even started this that I was going to put Bama in there.
Why would I ever bet against Nick Saban?